It's November 23rd, 2007, and this is 508, a show about Worcester. I'm Mike Benedetti, and today on the show, we welcome for the first time Jeff Barnard of WormtownTaxi.com. Jeff, how are you doing?
Oh, doing all right this morning. Nice to have 4 days off in a row.
Yeah, normally I guess you're driving this time of day?
Yeah, I find it would be almost impossible to be able to participate in the show while driving the taxi because 8 a.m. on a Friday morning is multitasking time even without a cell phone in my ear.
I can imagine that might annoy some of your customers also, as if you were like driving around having some political argument on the cell phone and the guy's like, shouldn't you be watching the road?
Exactly, because you know it's difficult enough to focus on driving through this city during rush hour, having a passenger in the back seat who may say something important at any moment, like you got to take a left here, along with the computer dispatch system, which has a little screen off to my right. So there are enough distractions as it is, and that's the busiest time of the day.
Also on the show, we welcome back Worcester Cable Access star Bruce the Snow Ghost Russell. Bruce, what were you going to say?
I said, supposing you were like driving a taxi in New York City or L.A. or something, you know, which is the one thing about Worcester if you're driving a cab here, is there's one thing you have to realize. All the roads here are not all in a row like they are in New York City or L.A.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's a real maze in this city.
All right.
I think that the top story of this week, besides there really being no top story this week, is maybe that there's going to be a recount of our last election, and it's going to happen on Monday?
Yeah, Monday. Definitely. An interesting thing about that is that you can go and watch right there at City Hall.
I am pretty excited about this because Scott Zoback, people who are not in Worcester may not realize this, Scott Zoback of Worcester Magazine has recently started blogging for Worcester Magazine, and especially live blogging, like using his cell phone to post updates. So I'm really hoping that he's going to be like sitting around the city council chamber while this is going on, because I think that that's the kind of reporting that nobody else is even trying to do, and it's probably the most interesting reporting of an event like that, is just sort of what's the sense in the room, you know? And
Scott has really picked up the ball with that. It's a great blog.
It's a fantastic thing. And, you know, and the cool thing also for me, as somebody who's interested in doing a little bit of citizen journalism, and, you know, and in helping people in the city get connected to, say, cable access and whatever, is that because you can monitor what's going on, if suddenly something interesting happens, you know, if somebody accuses somebody of malfeasance or whatever, you know immediately. You know within 60 seconds of that or however quick your RSS reader updates, and then you can run over to City Hall and check it out. So it's kind of like a journalism alert for people who want to treat it that way, you know, among being other things. I think that that's why it really works well.
Yeah, and also, I believe, aren't they going to have the cameras on in the council chambers for Channel 12?
Yeah, they probably are. I mean, for me, you know, and for people at work, I think that that's less helpful because they don't.
Yeah, they don't feed it over the internet.
They don't put it on the internet, exactly. But yeah, I'm sure that it will also be on Channel 12. Actually, since I work at a TV station, it's not very hard for me to have a TV on Channel 12.
But it'll probably be a very boring show to watch.
Well, this is one of the things about live blogging that I find very fascinating. The way that it just seems, you know, this tool of blogging just suddenly works really well in a situation like this because.
Oh, definitely, yeah. That's the difference, is you can check the blog rather than having to suffer through watching people counting ballots.
Exactly, and if 5 minutes ago something exciting happened and you turn on Channel 12 and it's over, you would never know.
Yeah, you missed it.
Right, channel. So you know, so I mean, Scott's probably not going to write paragraph after paragraph. He's probably going to write 10 or 20 sentences about it that day. But I think that the 10 or 20 sentences he writes will be so much more interesting than, you know, the 10 or 20 paragraphs that make their way into the newspaper the next day.
Well, here's a story, if I can say.
Well, let me ask Jeff his thoughts about the recount first.
Okay.
Well, the first thing that I thought about the recount when I first read the news that we were going to have or a Russian was considering a recount was, ah! You know, why is he doing that, you know? But then it comes down to 100 votes. And so after being able to digest the fact that we are going to have a recount, I've come to the point where I'm thinking, well, if there's a big change in the mayoral race and anything shifts, it's going to shift because the Diebold counting machines have trouble with X's and check marks as opposed to the simple instruction to fill in the oval on the ballot. So if that's the case, then the election would shift only because of stupid people who couldn't read those simple instructions.
Or it seems amazing to me that anybody could misunderstand that.
Yeah,
maybe it's just because in my generation I feel like we spent our whole schooling like filling in ovals.
Yeah.
You know, doing the standardized tests and whatever.
Well, even the SATs I took were filling in ovals. They were little squares, I think.
All right, so it's not worse. Yeah, so it's, filling in a box is not like a new technology.
No, it's not. And the other thing is that if it does shift, or if there's any appreciable difference between the hand recount and the machine count, this will immediately throw all the other races on the ballot into question. You've not only got the mayoral race there, you've got the at-large race, which had some very, very thin margins between those who won and those who didn't, and you've got the school committee, and you've got the casino question. So it will throw all those races into doubt, and we'll only have certainty about the mayoral count.
Are they only going to be counting that, or are they going to be counting everything on all the ballots?
As far as I know, it's only going to be the mayoral race.
Hmm.
So that's the question in my mind, that, you know, if we really do see an appreciable difference, there's no opportunity to do a recount on the other races, and they will forever be in doubt.
Yeah. You know, I hope that if the numbers are wrong, that the city gets some sort of refund from the voting machine guys too. No, because it's a defect. Because it's a defective product.
I think Diebold should be put out of business.
Bruce, was there something that you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I was just reading a paper. There's something about Boston Globe yesterday. Not yesterday. I think the day before. I think it was like Wednesday. That it seemed like the U.S. is going into more of a dark mode because of, I guess, due to the lack of government support and stuff like that. So that's all I had to say.
You mean the people not supporting the government?
Well, yeah, because they just really not get enough support from the government for, like, I don't know, like fuel or gas, the price of gasoline and things like that. So,
you know, an interesting thing about the price of gasoline is that it's kept pace with inflation. We're not really paying more for gas in terms of inflation.
I hadn't realized that.
Yeah, if you can go online and find different online calculators, and for instance, back around 1970, the price of gas was maybe 60 cents a gallon. Well, it's five times more now. And this has kept pace with inflation. It's something that people don't realize. But there are fluctuations from time to time where it goes above the inflationary scale, and mostly it's been below it, though. So when we get these corrections, we all go, oh, my God, this is too much for gas. But it's really been pretty steady, keeping pace with inflation. What hasn't kept pace with inflation is income.
Yeah.
And also what hasn't kept pace with inflation is the cost of housing. The cost of housing is double the rate of inflation.
Yeah,
so this is where the pinch is. It's not gasoline, it's housing.
I bet you the housing's probably more expensive, has gone up more than the price of gasoline has, probably.
Oh, yeah. In terms of real dollars, you know, real value of dollars adjusted for inflation, housing has doubled.
I know a guy who works down in the tax office downtown where my friend Joe has his coffee shop, and he was telling me he bought a house out in Arizona, like Yuma, Arizona. The exact same house, I think he paid like $200,000. The same house up here is like more like closer to like $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 or something like that. The same house.
It is expensive in the Northeast, much more expensive up here.
I wanted to talk about something that I put up on the Pie and Coffee blog this week, which was an interview that I did with one of the jurors in the Larry Serignano case. And I was very excited to be able to do this interview, to put this kind of information out there. And looking at my server logs this week, it pointed up something very interesting to me about the local Worcester internet blogosphere, whatever you want to call it, ecosystem. That I put up this story, I got good mentions in Worcester Magazine, other blogs, the Bay Windows, you know, linked to this story. Also had a story up there this week about how the 2008 National Catholic Worker Gathering was going to be in Worcester. A number of people visited the site because of that. So server stats were a little bit, web stats were a little bit high for the week. But then, like the day before Thanksgiving, Teresa Nielsen Hayden, who's one of the contributors to this big blog, Making Light, added a link to something on Pie and Coffee to the sidebar of this blog, like the little link blog at the side of the blog, and it was the last link that she added before taking a couple days off for Thanksgiving. And so, of course, this got me like 2,000 hits. I mean, this tiny little mention, you know, of something, it was like a YouTube video that a friend of mine had suggested I put up in one of my miscellaneous posts, which I did, and for some reason she linked to this post. Like, this blew everything else out of the water.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at the server stats, the only thing that you're seeing this week is an offhanded mention in a major blog. It made me think about my worries about the decline of local journalism in Worcester. I feel like I've seen this happen. A lot of good people leaving the Telegram and Gazette. Richard Nangle of the Telegram and Gazette, who was one of my favorite reporters there, who left recently, posted a comment on Pie and Coffee saying he thought even more people were going to be leaving the TNG in recent and coming months. The TNG's circulation has just been collapsing. It's been declining. It's something nationally, newspaper circulation is declining, but the TNG's circulation has been consistently declining at about twice the rate of the national average.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the spring of this year, the national decline was something like 5%, and the TNG declined something like 11%.
Wow.
More recently, the national decline has slowed down to something like 2.5%, and the TNG was a little over 5%. So, you know, I mean, it's...
I heard there's going to be moving somewhere outside of Boston or something, too.
Really?
What is that?
I heard that TNG was going to move somewhere out towards closer to Boston because they weren't going to be doing the papers here anymore. That's what I heard, but I don't know if that's true or not.
I haven't heard anything about that, but, you know... I feel sort of excited about the potential for internet journalism when I see what Scott Zoback is doing at Worcester Magazine. I mean, when I see what Scott Zoback is doing at Worcester Magazine at a cost of nothing to himself and probably 5 minutes of work to set up this blog.
He's got good support over there, too, and what's his last name?
Bombard.
Noah Bombard is very internet savvy, very, very into the new technologies, and I think that makes a difference. I don't think that's happening over at the TNG. I don't think they get it. Whoever's in charge over there doesn't get it.
Yeah, I've talked to the people who run the website there. I mean, part of what they have to deal with this weird legacy content management system over there.
Right.
But their web, I would say, as newspaper websites go, their website is maybe a little bit above average. The trouble is that newspaper websites in general are a little bit below average.
Yeah.
And I think that the real trouble is just this question of, is there enough advertising money out there? I tried to get this from Worcester Magazine people before, and nobody's ever really talked to me even off the record about whether or not they were making enough money on ads to make any of that work worthwhile.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, whenever I look at Pie and Coffee, you know, posting a scoop this week and seeing a little bit of a spike in traffic from that amount of work, and then seeing again like any mention from the blogosphere at large outside of the city of Worcester just being orders of magnitude more important than writing something useful about the city of Worcester makes me wonder. I think about a city like Watertown, Massachusetts, for example. It has this blog. It's one of sort of the classic hyper-local blogs, really just like people use that as a great example all the time. It's a small enough community that I think a really well-run group blog can cover a lot of what's going on in that community. Worcester is several times larger than that as a city, and So I don't see, you know, a group blog being enough to cover the city of Worcester. At the same time, I don't know that there's enough internet revenue out there for a city of, you know, a potential audience of, let's say, 500,000 people. If you want to be, is something covering something potentially interesting to 500,000 people going to generate enough money? I don't know.
No. Well, in terms of the Worcester internet activity, there has to be content every day for somebody to come back and look at a website each day. You know, a person gets online and they surf around and they hit their favorite sites. Now, is a person going to come back to a website that doesn't have anything new on it every day?
No.
So the only thing that I've striven to do, my only agenda, has been to, you know, have some content on my blog every day. Something new every day, so that the daily surfer can come in and find something new. And it doesn't really have to be anything big, but, you know, there's this prevalence around Worcester media that I get this feeling that they feel that there isn't enough content. You know, the content-starved area of Worcester. It's just a matter of, you know, popping things online, keeping things, you know, keep. And that's what makes Scott's blog so great in terms of a news source, is there's usually something new on there almost every day.
Yeah.
It's a important part of keeping a website active, is something new on there every day. It's a very simple thing.
That's sort of a genius thing, what he's doing, too, because it's basically the weekly political column Wisteria in blog form,
yeah.
In daily blog.
It's
so it's something he's going to have to write anyway.
I think
it's not taking him any more
work.
Yeah. I don't know what the solution is.
As far as advertising revenue, though, you know, online advertising revenue is nothing compared to a publication. The publications have salespeople, you know, going out and selling active, you know, column inches, and it's just not the same on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, you would have, as a blogger, if you want to be commercially funded, you'd have to hire people, salesmen, to go out and sell advertising to put on that web page.
Or else you'd have to hope that the revenue you could get from Google AdWords was enough to make it worth your time.
Yeah, but you don't have a national audience for local advertising. You want a local audience for local advertising. You'd have to hire, maybe there's an ad agency in town that could start ramping up the revenue for online advertising. It would certainly make more sense than, you know, hooking into Google ads for a blog like mine. You know, I'd have to have, you know, what is it? You get about I might make $1 per 1,000 hits.
You know? Right.
You know, it has to be more locally focused to get more revenue. So there's a business startup somebody could do, local online advertising.
Yeah, or if somebody is already doing it, let us know.
Yeah.
Because you would think that we would know.
Yeah,
I want a piece of that action.
You know.
There you go.
Piece of that ad too. Like the 8-minute abs. Give me some advertisement for 8-minute abs.
8-minute abs, baby. Well, let me thank you guys for being on the show this week. And I have been promising a bunch of interviews, and I was sick earlier this week. I couldn't get any interviews done, but we'll probably have some good interviews on the show next week. If people want to call in and leave a message for the show, they can call 508-471-3897. Jeff and Bruce, thanks so much for being on.
I got one question for you, Mike.
Yes, Bruce.
I think we're going up there today. Nine. Hey, Tom, we going up there today?
Bruce, I'll talk to you later.
What's that?
We don't have to deal with this personal business on the podcast. Guys, I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for inviting me, Mike.
Thank you.